the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K26. It's myself, Momoonsi, alongside me as always, two-time NBA champion, former Pistons coach, Mr. Brennan Sir. Coach, how you feeling?
That was a tough one for the old Piston alumni tonight. Put it mildly. A very strange playoff series, if I must say. You know, expect Cleveland to close out the other night on their home court. They get blown out. Then you expect Detroit to win tonight. Both teams, ironically, 4.5-point favorites get killed at home.
The pressure of a game seven. The Pistons could not handle the pressure of a game seven, but season seven of NBA 2K26 challenges you to prove you can handle the pressure. The headline for this season of NBA 2K26 is Angel Reese of the Atlanta Dream, as the WNBA season has just gone underway. And so you can head over to NBA 2K26 season seven, arrived on Friday, May 15th, for new content across My Career, My Team, and the W, with Angel Reese taking center stage. So you guys get over there, check that out. River City Park is back. You know, the classic 2K16 park. There's new stuff for the W online. There's new stuff for my team, including a Phil Jackson coaching card, a Michael Jordan level 40 card. I want to get a Coach Brennan Sir card in this. This is what we got to do for next season. But
you better come up with some big money, Mo. I'm not just giving my stuff out to NBA 2K26, but
you can see my face in the game as I'm a character in there for absolutely free. But shout out to them. Great game. NBA 2K26 is a great game. Yep. Game 7 between the Cavs and the Pistons was not a great game. It was a bloodbath. Detroit at home got their ass kicked. They did not show up for this one. Jalen Duren, with maybe he saved his worst playoff performance till the end, but it was horrific. The Cavs had their way in the paint, 58 points in the paint in a game that they won 125-94. As you said, Coach, the Cavs had the chance to close this out at home. They didn't do it. Game seven on the road, you expect, you know, the Pistons, after blowing them out in game six, to have all the momentum, come here and get a job done. And they didn't. Do you put this down to experience? Do you put this down to game plan? Do you put this down to effort? What do you put this down to?
No, this is truly a mental thing. And this is the mind works in funny ways. Both teams wanted to win so incredibly. You just, some players, individuals don't handle it. It's not coaching, to be honest with you, when you get to that. As we like to say, when you get to the playoffs, for the most part, it's a player's game. And, you know, the best players on Detroit did not perform from Cade on down.
Mm-hmm. I was broadcasting the game for Prime, and we had some shots of Isaiah Thomas in the stands. And it reminded me of when he was on our show. If you haven't heard the episode, search that up. It reminded me of Isaiah talking about players not having pride and not having any shame anymore. To take a beat down like this in a game seven at home was truly, truly embarrassing. This Pistons team, as I've said to you all season long, Coach, outside of Cade, they need someone, right? Now, Dennis Jenkins, who might be the story of the season, is starting in this game for Duncan Robinson, came off a two-way contract, solidified himself in a rotation. But if a guy who was in a G League last year is your second option, you're in trouble in the NBA playoffs. Respectfully to Dennis Jenkins, because I think he's a fantastic player.
Yeah, he did a great job, and what a year he had. Mm-hmm. But when you have a team of role players, you usually, in playoffs especially, role players normally play well at home. But when you're getting into deep into 14 games into the playoffs, this is now where guys come and perform. And the games were big. And there were guys on Cleveland that just, you know, like people will say, well, Harden didn't play well. Yeah, he didn't. But he was a good teammate, and Mobley and Donovan Mitchell were spectacular.
And Jarrett Allen as well.
Jarrett Allen was fabulous. And our other kid, Sam Merrill, right?
23 off the bench, 7-10, 5-8 from downtown.
Tremendous. So, I mean, you know, they really, really performed. So, hey, you know what? You know, it was from Cleveland standpoint, the best win of the year by
far. Yeah, I mean, both these teams who played Game 7 tonight play the Game 7 in the first round as well. Meanwhile, the Knicks swept the Sixers, and they've been at home resting, getting ready for the conference finals, where they will face the Cavaliers. We need your prediction, Coach.
Yeah, well, this is a tough one because I've been through this where we swept every series of the playoffs going up to this round, and we had been off for over a week, similar to this, you know, similar to OKC, and we came out and the Bulls caught us 2 days later at home. Mm. And so it could, it, you know, you, the other team, they're just going to go literally tonight from Cleveland right to New York.
Yep.
And they're going to go there.
Well, from Detroit.
I'm sorry. To New York. My bad. From Detroit right to New York. And no practice, no preparation. And they're just going. And they're going to hoop. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you don't know what's going to happen. You might be like Philly and get blown out the first game of each playoff series they played in this year. Mm-hmm. Or you might come and just really show up and, wow, play great. So I don't know what's going to happen. And but I, you know, I think I give Cleveland a lot of credit, and they, and I give Donovan Mitchell's first time he ever made a conference final.
Yep. And his reward for making the conference finals is now he's going to be guarded by, if OG Anunoby's healthy, OG Anunoby, Mikal Bridges, Josh Hart, is going to be very difficult for him in his next round.
They got so many guys and they're so playing so well. New York is a prohibitive favorite in this series. You know, I expect them to take care of business. They're on a mission right now.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been pointing to finals or bust. And I think they have a great shot, obviously, now.
Yeah, I see this as like Knicks in five, Knicks in six.
I have it the same way.
Because as good as the Cavs have been in this Game 7 win, it's not like they've been super impressive in the playoffs. They went to seven against the Raptors. They went to seven against a terrible postseason Piston team, because they were great in the regular season, but they were not great in the postseason. They barely got past Orlando. So, you know, I think an interesting thing is like the battle of the front court here, because Cleveland roll in with the two bigs. I want to see how many minutes we see of Kat and Mitch on the court together to kind of counteract that, or if they're going to keep going with just the one big and how that's going to impact things.
I think you'll see mostly one big because Mobley plays like a three now. He doesn't play like a five or a power forward. He's out in that perimeter. He's bringing the ball up to court. He's shooting threes. He played great this series, though.
Mm-hmm.
He really elevated his game and played like he, we thought he would all year. But he's a very unusual guy for 6'11". I mean, just very unusual player. But he played really well. I think Matt Strus, who they just got in towards the end of the year, he didn't put numbers up tonight, but his toughness and his confidence, he's the kind of guy you want on the court.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I think he's an important piece. I think we might still see him starting.
Yeah, because that was interesting having him in for Dean Wade.
Yeah, I thought that was a pretty good move, you know. So I think, you know, and Strus is a guy that bothered Cade in the last couple of, you know, I think he's the kind of guy that, you know, he's a pain in the ass to play against, to be quite honest.
Yeah. You know? And if he's hitting his threes as well, it's tricky to slow down the Cavs. But,
yeah,
you know, I'm feeling confident if I'm the Knicks, especially with the way Kat's been playing, the way Brunson shows up. I think they've got to be real, real confident going into this series. I'm pretty confident picking the Knicks, but obviously we've mm-hmm. all been wrong. But over in the West, things are a little more tricky. The Thunder are facing the Spurs. The Thunder, who, similarly to the Knicks, swept their second round series against the Lakers. But the Timberwolves put up a decent fight. In six games, the Spurs beat them. Obviously, very tough series for the Timberwolves because Anthony Edwards wasn't 100%. Dosunmu wasn't 100%. DiVincenzo was out. Before we talk about the Western Conference Finals, let's talk about the Timberwolves for a second, Coach. What direction do you see them going in this summer? Because it's clear that this group, there are some underlying issues. I think Naz Reid alluded to it in some of his post-series interviews, talking about team basketball and selfish basketball. Julius Randle was left a lot to be desired in this series. You've got Rudy Gobert. Is that going to be the future of the team? I don't know what they're going to do this summer, but what direction do you think the Timberwolves head in?
I think they're in trouble because financially they don't have financial moves to make.
Mm-hmm.
And they got to pay DeSomo. big money, mm-hmm. in my opinion. He's probably helped himself as a free agent as much as any guy, certainly that was traded at trade deadline. He went from a $5 or $7 million player. Now he's going to do $25 million plus, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think, though, they get his bird rights because they traded for him before the deadline.
No, but they. I think there's other teams that have a little money. So I think he, you know, they're going to have to pay him, I mean.
Yeah. But they can. They can pay him. Yeah.
Because DiVincenzo's out next year. So they need to keep him. And Terrence Shannon was just spectacular for them. Mm-hmm. What a find he was, you know. You pick that kid late, and then you pick Dillingham at the A spot. One mm-hmm. can't play, and the other guy, Shannon's NBA body, NBA defender, plays hard. I love the guy. So they got two really good young guards in those two. Ant, he needs to play better. And the problem is, you know, just because you're the best, and this is, I'm going to state this as a general thing. Just because you're the best player on the team, or the guy with the most talent, or the guy that makes the most money, does not mean you are a leader. Mm. And that's one of the problems. That team needs leadership.
I think discipline is the word I use for that team. Because we said it throughout the year. Some nights they look like a world-class team. Some nights they look like they can't be bothered. And we said it all year long. They can't just flip the switch in the playoffs.
And it starts with the player at the top. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's Ant. That's the guy that needs the discipline. That's the guy that needs it. I've never seen in 47 years, I've never seen a player with 8 minutes to go walk down and congratulate their team.
Yeah, what was your take on that, Coach? Because I was very confused watching that.
As bad as I've ever seen.
Because obviously your Pistons team was famous for walking off without shaking hands.
That was all justified because of the things the Bulls said.
But he's done the opposite. He's gone and shook their hands so early.
I've just never seen that.
I don't know what to make of that. I was very surprised.
I've never seen that. I mean, think about it. There's so many ways, so many layers to look into that. I don't even know how to react, but... Very surprising. Michael Jordan would not have done that. Most of the great players. I don't know anyone that's quote all star, very good player that I've ever seen that did that or would do that.
Yeah, and it's like, what are you in a rush for, bro? You could wait for 8 minutes.
Yeah,
you
know what I mean. What are you kidding me? You know, it was just silly. You know.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting offseason for the Timberwolves. But let's talk about the Western Conference Finals. The Thunder and the Spurs, the 1 seed and the 2 seed. The Spurs were 4-1 against this team in the regular season. But the regular season means nothing, as the Pistons have proven tonight. How do you see this series going? They just announced that Jalen Williams will be coming back for this series. De'Aaron Fox is questionable for Game 1 with an injury. So... the Thunder as well, it goes back to what we were saying about the Knicks, having had a week off to rest before they play. The Spurs series obviously went 6 games, so they've had less time to rest. But how do you see this going?
The only hope my feeling about him is I think San Antonio is so good right now when healthy. Everything being right, they're so good. And the other guy is so outrageously good, Wimby, that I think, you know, the Thunder's only chance is if they win 4 home games.
Wow. 7-game series, winning a Game 7.
They have to win their home games. And I'm not sure they can win the home games against this club. This team is playing so good at home. So, I mean, I really think the Spurs could be favored in this series. And I think the wins all happened in December, November. I think they're a much better team, San Antonio, now, and I don't think OKC is as good a team as they were when they started off 24-1.
That's very interesting, Coach, because then you would have a rematch of the NBA Cup Final, the Knicks versus the Spurs in the NBA Finals, which would be great for Adam Silver.
The Knicks will win the championship, just like they did in the Cup.
I weirdly think the Thunder have a better chance of beating the Knicks than the Spurs do, but it's about matchups.
Yeah, it's about matchups. And the thing is, the three teams, Knicks, Spurs, Thunder, are all playing the best of any teams in the league right now.
Mm-hmm.
So they're all deserving. Health will be a big thing. Can Jalen Williams stay healthy? Does Shea stay healthy? I just think it's health is a monstrous thing in this whole series. Wimby has gotten hurt or things have happened to him. When you get to these seven-game series, and I think you have to enter into a series, as we talked about in our last episode, that every series is going to be seven games when mm-hmm. you match up good team. So, and now it becomes mental as well as physical. So I'm excited about it. You can't ask for anything better in the West.
Yeah, it's going to be – I hope it goes seven games. Yeah. You know, and I think the big conversation around the Spurs is the experience. Can they make it to the finals with no experience? And to that, I say, like, everything's impossible until someone does it. Yeah, you know, it's
a non-factor, to be honest.
Yeah. It's also all these teams without experience, they never had a player like Wemby on their roster either. So, you know, there's a first for everything.
I agree with you. And they got guys, they might not have NBA playoff experience, but these guys have played, these young guys on the mm-hmm. Spurs, played so much basketball in their lives, mm-hmm. whether it be international ball, AAU basketball. He's got Dylan Harper's played so many games in his short life already. You know, what a player he is.
Oh, he's been fantastic. Castle's really impressed me, just the poise that he plays with as such a young player.
I think Castle's, outside Wimby, Castle's their best player, and Dylan Harper's maybe their second best player mm-hmm. right now.
Mm-hmm.
And Fox, obviously, has ability to close out a series and play well. But Castle and Harper, wow. What mm-hmm. guard? What guard?
Yep, and they're going to have their hands full guarding the MVP, back-to-back MVP, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Congratulations to Shai on winning MVP again. You know what? This is one of those things, Coach. Shams tweeted out the winner of the MVP award at 7:30 in the morning.
Not supposed to either.
No. It makes me think he scheduled the tweet because they were supposed to announce it at 7:30 p.m. and he might have put it
was
for a.m.
supposed to do it, and Prime was supposed to deliver it.
Exactly.
Like TNT. So that was not smart of him.
Here's my thing, right? Because I hear a lot of things around the NBA, but I don't put out anything because, you know, I just let the chips fall where they may. I understand his job as a newsbreaker is to break the news. Cool. That's cool when it's a trade. Like, oh, Luka Doncic is getting traded. Fantastic. Or if it's free agency, LeBron signing back with the Cavs. Cool. Fantastic. But when it comes to awards, there is no benefit to being the first person to tweet that out. No. Okay. Let people enjoy the show and enjoy the suspense and enjoy the announcement. And then the other one that pisses me off is draft picks. Why do you have to tweet out a draft pick 5 minutes before it's time? Sure. These kids have been waiting their whole lives to hear Adam Silver call their name, and you want to ruin the surprise for everyone. So instead of finding out by the commissioner calling their name, they find out because their agent shows them their phone with a tweet from Shams. I hate that.
That's not right. No, there's no purpose to that. That's all I'll say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
That's all.
That's that.
That's all I'll say.
Yeah, I don't want to get in trouble with ESPN. But it's been an interesting postseason. So you're picking a Spurs-Knicks final, Coach.
Yeah, you know, I love Spurs and OKC. And mm-hmm. I just think that OKC, the way they have matched up. See, I think the Spurs are the best defensive team in the league. OKC was last year. OKC, it's 1A and 1B defense.
Mm-hmm.
And so you better protect your home court because I'm not sure they can go in there and win a game.
Oof.
I'm not sure they can because that guy, they play so well at home.
Well, the Thunder have yet to lose a game this postseason. They've won two on the road in both series they've played, so two sweeps.
No, I think that's, you know.
How much do you factor in, Coach, the strength of opponents? Because the OKC have breezed through their first two rounds. The Spurs have come through the tougher side of the draw, having to beat the Timberwolves in that semifinal. I think we can comfortably say the Timberwolves are a lot better than the Lakers, right, without Luka Doncic. How much do you factor in the rust versus the difficulty of passing the previous round?
Well, when you play really difficult opponents, you have a chance to get hurt, number one, and expend way too much energy. So, you know, you play who's on your schedule. You had the best record. You won 64 games, so you deserve to get the better draw. And they did that. And so, I never worry about rust or layoffs because there's not a team in the league that wants to play more games so that they think they're in a groove. So winning four in a row each series, fabulous. It's just what you want to do as a coach. And I think also we have two great young coaches in Mitch Johnson and Dagnall. Tremendous coaches. So I love what they do with their teams. Both teams are the two best defensive teams in a coach's opinion. So from that standpoint, nothing better. Both teams have superstars. The whole deal is packed with it.
Going back to that 4-1 regular season record for the Spurs against the Thunder, during those regular season matchups, is there an element of OKC don't want to show their hand during the regular season against a team they might face in the playoffs? So they didn't throw everything they had at the Spurs?
No. Not at all. No. No, you throw it all. When you play games like that, we used to always say, regular season, there's only a few games on the schedule that you highlight and say, this is a big game. And when you play the Spurs, they were big games. And in the Cup, even though it was way back in early, mid-December, that was for big games, and they went in and rocked. It was really a classic, on a neutral court, too. So home court's going to be a factor, I think, because both teams have great home courts, phenomenal fans. So, I mean, this is NBA basketball. It's total best, I think, because of the matchups, the crowds. This is what you want. This is what makes the NBA playoffs spectacular. You know, and I love, there's no better place to play in the playoffs than a packed Madison Square Garden.
Oh, yeah.
Because those fans are insane because it's been so damn long since we won there. So, I mean, they're going to do everything they can to get that team to the finals. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the whole setup. Either one of the West against the Knicks.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to both of these matchups and also to the NBA Finals, and then also our yearly tradition of LeBron pretending he's going to retire during the NBA Finals so that the news headlines talk about him.
Be nice.
Elsewhere in the NBA, there's a lot of buzz around the Celtics trading Jaylen Brown for Giannis Antetokounmpo. Coach, what's your take on this?
I trust Brad Stevens and Mike Zarin as being two of the best executives. So I do not expect that.
Yes, neither do I. I wouldn't do that trade. Giannis is older, hasn't been healthy in the postseason since he won a championship. And these two guys, Jason...
The only thing I can go out on a limb about is that Giannis will not be a Milwaukee Buck.
Oh, man.
That's a guarantee. Well,
you know what's interesting about that is you look at the teams that could trade for him.
Yeah.
There aren't many great trade packages for him when you look around the league.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely. So they're not going to get a great return value compared to if they traded him last year.
They're not going to get a great return. Not at all. They're going to get some picks, maybe.
Yep.
And they're going to get a starter.
Well, lucky for them, the draft picks are going to... Everyone's going to have equal odds on a number one pick after next year.
No. I mean, I'm saying that's what you're going to get. And the people that are saying Golden State, I mean, that might be the worst concept of Golden State, sending Jimmy Butler there. Like, you want to take Jimmy Butler's $56 million salary for a guy that can't play.
You're already paying Dame Lillard $20 million a year not to play.
Even Jimmy Butler, if he was healthy, do you want him at 37 years old? No.
Well, I think if the Thunder lose this series to the Spurs, they'll trade Jalen Williams for Giannis because they've shown that they can win without Jalen Williams with AJ Mitchell's development, and they've got all the picks in the world.
Yeah, I mean, I think Sam Presti has the ability. Sam has the ability to frankly, with 13 first round picks, and 16 second round picks, he has the ability to go and give more. Mm-hmm. And so he can do some things that, you know, can make him where what he would do. I'm not sure, but he'll do, he might do something. But you know what? Great executives in San Presi is in a class by himself as far as greatness as an executive. You can't get sentimental. You can't fall in love with your team. You got to do what's right for your team. And so it has nothing to do whether I just think that guy down in San Antonio, he's going to change the way everyone in this league thinks. That's all I'm saying. And that has nothing to do with the Spurs are just have the chance to be just a semi-dynasty in 5 years.
Yep.
5 years.
They've got to find a way to move that Fox contract, though, because they're going to have to pay Castle and Harper at some point.
You don't worry about that right now. You just worry about making your team better, and everything else will take care of itself, you know.
Yeah, what's interesting on the broadcast is we were talking about the MVP, and the last 8 MVP winners have been international players. And they said, well, when is it going to be an American? And I said, well, there's a French guy there who might just win a whole bunch of them pretty soon. So I think the whole league is going to be looking at the Spurs, especially if they do make it to the finals, and it's going to alter how people build their teams. Because remember when the Warriors were at their peak of their powers and teams were built just to try and take down the Warriors? Like, look at what the Rockets did. Teams are going to have to try and build just to take down the Spurs, especially out west.
Well, and I don't think you can take them down with Wimby. I mean, you know, so you just want to be competitive and get better and, you know, and maybe, God forbid, something happens in a series. But you just want to be able to get into that top 4 teams in a conference, which is really hard to do. Really hard to get into the semifinals.
Yeah. Anything else going on around the league, Coach, while we're here?
We were at the draft combine.
How did I forget?
And that was good to see. All the players were there to do their go through their skill development and stuff like that. And DeBonsa and Caleb Wilson was spectacular. DeBonsa was terrific. I thought it was really good to see teams got to interview the prospects that they wanted to talk to. They also do medical testing, very thorough medical reviews on everything of every player, all their sizes and, you know, all the things. And they do all the metrics for a player. And then many of the players, not the lottery picks, all played 2 games. And on Wednesday and Thursday. On Wednesday and Thursday, they played games. And that was good because you got to see some players play pretty well and stuff. So it was fun.
Who stood out to you, Coach? Was there any standout players that you saw?
The best player that I saw was Cam Carr from Baylor. He just had one of those games on Wednesday that was so good. I think he made 5 threes in a row in the first half. And he was so good that he wasn't there the next day. I can't play better than this. So he might have put himself into the first round or very high in the second round.
Yep.
And he's a 6'6 guard. His dad played in the league.
Yep. That's pretty good place to be at.
Yeah. So, you know, seeing all those players in the gym going through workouts and stuff was really good to see. And, you know, and a lot of guys were impressive. DeBonsa's, like, you look at him and you watch him on the court and you say, this guy's a star just looking at him. I mean, he walks like a star. Actually, Caleb Wilson, I think, is going to be an absolute superstar.
If you had the number one pick, are you taking AJ DeBonsa?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking Wilson second.
Wow. I've seen Cam Boozer put up some pretty good numbers at the combine.
He was terrific. Very impressive guy and everything. So, you know, he's just such a safe guy. He's such a well-rounded guy. He's all about the right stuff. You want him on your team. Great teammate. So, you know, there were just some good things about him. But, you know, we've had several players already, you know, go back to school. You know, the biggest one being, I think, Thomas Howell from Florida, 6'9", small forward. who would have been a lottery pick. Him going back to Florida was big. Florida returning their entire front line of all first round. Shinlu was going to go early in the second round. He's probably going to go back. And Boogie Flan, who's like a first round guard talent. So they got four starters coming
back. It makes sense because you can get the NIL money and next year's draft is weaker. So you'll get a better draft position next year and you get a better rookie salary.
And these guys of Florida, for instance, they've been together now for 4 years. They want to win a championship again. Mm. So I understand that. They're young guys.
I respect it. Well, the NBA draft is creeping up on us, but first we got the conference finals, the NBA finals. So stay locked in with the Hoop Genius podcast. Subscribe, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts from. We'll be back throughout the conference finals and finals breaking it down for you. So don't go anywhere. And until next time, coach, get buckets.